When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We now welcome Vicky Lakes Battle and Kenya Thomas. Vicky, the executive director of IFF in the Chicago metro region. And Kenya Thomas, the executive director of ETA Creative Arts Foundation. Ladies, how are you this morning?
Well, thank you.
Yes, I'm great. Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yeah, well, it's great to have you both here. And Vicky, I want to start with you and discussing Chicago's cultural treasures, the grantees, this initiative. Can you tell us about this particular initiative?
Happy to. So Chicago's cultural treasures, I'll also refer to it as Chi Treasures, was actually born out of the Ford Foundation's America's Cultural Treasures effort. So Chi Treasures is a four-year initiative that focuses on strengthening, growing, preserving Chicago area organizations whose mission is to enable the creation, preservation, and dissemination of art that's rooted in BIPOC traditions, leadership, and culture. The goal of the program is to bolster the long-term financial resilience and sustainability of these organizations through a combination of critical general operating support. So given the fact that this was a program originated a couple of years ago, that translates to grants, capacity building, and technical assistance support. So far, we've raised $24.75 million through this effort, and those funds came from actually the Ford Foundation, MacArthur Foundation, the Joyce Foundation, Polk Brothers Foundation, Tara Foundation, Walder Foundation, Builders Initiative, and then this also caught the attention of philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. And so with these funds, we were able to support 40 extraordinary Black, Latine, Asian, and Indigenous arts organizations, including ETA Creative Arts, that where we're represented by Kenya with us today. And so these organizations received the combination of just cold hard cash in the form of unrestricted grants, along with capacity building and technical assistance support that we co-designed together. And so that type of support included fundraising support, board development, marketing and communications, financial management, and facilities planning and support. And so things that we learned through the effort was that we had over 140 letters of intent. Originally, I think that the group that put this effort together anticipated maybe 30 of our organizations. And so we very quickly learned that there are no cultural deserts in the Chicago metro region, and indeed there are no hidden treasures. In fact, these particular treasures have been buried for many years of uninvestment and underinvestment. And so we went into this effort with the idea that we collectively, along with the grantees and philanthropy, needed to change that. And so many times I get the question, like, why IFF, which is a community development, financial institution, and real estate consulting firm, why would we undertake this effort given the fact that it's not 100% what we do? But we're invested in community. And so when we think about the contributions that BIPOC art forms contribute to the cultural richness of our neighborhoods, the formation of our identity and such, then this was an opportunity for us to participate in something that really stretched and challenged our ideas around what the community investment conversation should really be about. And so when we think about the role of the arts in general, particularly those are led by people of color, we have to consider the fact that these institutions play a vital role in just cultural preservation, but also just our sense of identity. They bring about unity, as we saw during the pandemic on extraordinary display, and just overall enhancing, you know, artistic and economic vitality. So the last thing, you know, that I'll say is that given the time that we embarked upon this effort, it was at the start of twin pandemics. Of course, the health pandemic, and of course, the period of racial reckoning. And I mention that because Shy Treasures was not ever intended to be a standard grant-making initiative. This was a race equity initiative for the arts and culture sector. And that's a really important distinction because it was a lot more than just making money available. But the point here is that we want these organizations just to be around for many years to come. And I'm anxious to hear about the great work that Kenya is doing now as one of our participants.
Absolutely, Kenya. And I want to give you the floor to tell us a little bit about ETA Creative Arts Foundation and how an organization like ETA can benefit from Shy Treasures.
So ETA Creative Arts Foundation, we started in 1969. Four founders actually started the organization, Abana Joan Brown, Okoro Harold Johnson, which was a journalist, and Al Johnson, and attorney Archie Weston. And that was in 1969. And we actually branched out in 1971. And their goal was to provide training and performance opportunities for youth, young adults, teens, and children. And our mission is basically to tell our stories of the African-American culture and our voice, because a lot of times we don't get to hear about the true stories and the real stories that our culture has built upon over the years. So to give artists a platform to do that through on stage, main stage performances, and by way of training, that was the founders felt like that would have been instrumental to the African-American culture and to the youth. So being a pillar on the South Side of Chicago, I mean, it has been so many individuals have benefited from ETA Creative Arts Foundation. They started here, went on to do amazing things, TV shows like Chicago Fire, Chicago PD, Empire, and just went on to advance their careers to different levels. Jennifer Hudson is one of the individuals that actually started here at ETA, working with one of our instructors. One of our instructors. And so we've been here 53 years, and we're just committed to the community to do the work. It's needed in the community. We actually started our own trust fund with Chicago Community Trust to give us some sort of financial backing. So an organization like the Chicago Cultural Treasures, we've benefited from, like, literally, if I have to be extremely transparent, if Chicago Cultural Treasures had not happened, I don't think ETA would still be here right now. But I don't know where we would be right now. I started here in 2014 as the financial officer, and there was no leadership at that time. We had no staff. We had no leadership. And being here for the last 10 years, watching the transition of leadership, it just really just made me appreciate the cultural treasures, the Chicago Cultural Treasures initiative. I mean, to do the work and not have a staff for 11 years, that really just took us to another level. The pandemic didn't help at all, you know, with the challenges that we were already dealing with. So when Chicago Cultural Treasures came about, it came like right during, I think like the, almost like the end of the pandemic, I think it was 2020 or something like that. Like it really helped us to, you know, be able to bring back our programming. Like we were really at a point where we didn't even know how we were going to make payroll that week. And we got the phone call. So, it has been extremely instrumental. I think that this is definitely that's something that's needed. And I do believe that African-American organizations like us, we do not receive the financial backing that we deserve because we do the work. We really, really do the work. And we're fighting to stay in the community. Every single day is a fight to stay in the community. So this is definitely needed. I think that the work that IFF is doing is extremely valuable to the arts sector. I'm just excited to actually witness this whole process from when it first started, us being one of the first been a part of the first cohort of the funding process. So I'm looking forward to what's next because I can't say it enough. It's needed. It's needed. And I think that a lot of theaters will die if things don't change. I really do believe that. And I think it's unfortunate because it should be, the support should be there. I think the support should be there, especially when you're doing the work. We, like I said, we have not had a full staff in 11 years. I've never had a raise since I've been here. Like, it's just so many things that we want to do. We want to pay equity salaries, and we want to be able to give more job opportunities. We want to be able to expand our programs and our services. We want to be able to do that, but we can't do that without financial stability. So it's hard. It's really hard. Me being in this position for almost for 2 years now, going on three, I'm really being in this seat. And at first, I was the financial officer, but I was there, but you don't really get to feel the weight until you're actually in the seat. I see why the leaders, and I'm only speaking for ETA, were burned out. I see why they were burned out. And I see why they went on to do other things. So I'm here still fighting. ETA has been here for 53 years. I want to see us advance to another 53 years. And my goal here is to get us there. Whatever time God has put me here to be here to lead this organization, I'm dedicated to getting us to the next level. So I thank Vicki and her team for creating the Chicago Culture Treasures. It was more than needed. There's no words that can describe the need for this type of initiative. So thank you, Vicki, for that.
Can certainly hear the passion in your voice. That's Kenya Thomas, the executive director of ETA, Creative Arts Foundation, also joined by Vicki Lakes Battle, the executive director of IFF in Chicago Metro Region. And this next question is for both of you, and it piggybacks off the challenges that you brought up. And you mentioned BIPOC organizations that would be Black, Indigenous, and people of color, nonprofit organizations, and the challenges that they face. And you mentioned some of the challenges, but another one of those challenges is sort of a wave of political figures and anti-inclusion activists working overtime to make sure that funds that support this type of arts and inclusion are rolled back. Having said all of that, how important is philanthropy moving forward when it comes to supporting organizations like ETA?
I think that it's extremely important, of course. I think that, you know, my hat goes off to those individuals and those organizations that really understand the needs, that really understand the needs, and that really dig deep into philanthropy and really try to pave the way for organizations like ETA to stay standing. So I think we need some of the processes that we go through to receive funding. I think they should be a little bit less stressful. I think because a lot of times they don't understand that, you know, if you may not have a perfect application, right? You may not have a perfect application, but finding another way to really figure out how the organization is doing or what they're doing, I think that would be another way to decide if this organization is worth investing in to help them with their general operations, their programming, or whatever that particular organization has going on. As for ETA, our goal is to always, always, always support the youth. We have an 8-week summer arts camp that we do for children ages 7 through 13. And this year, I don't know if we actually will be able to even do it because we don't have the funding to do it. So I think that philanthropy, I think that the continuation and the expansion of that, I think would be very, very, very helpful. And I think that ETA, it would definitely allow ETA to have a little bit more longstanding relationship with the community.
I'd like to add just a couple of things.
Please,
just thank you for your transparency, Kenya. I mean, as many times that's just part of it, you know, that there are broad assumptions that are made about the health of organizations and mm-hmm. what the needs are. And so I just want to applaud your willingness just to put it out there. So, you know, the challenges are not, you know, just limited to BIPOC-led and serving cultural organizations. This is a national problem. So just to your point about, you know, the need to view cultural institutions, particularly those that are rooted in BIPOC traditions, as a valuable asset class, is not just the burden that philanthropy needs to carry,
right.
But one that all of us should carry, even in the context of being consumers, that, you know, there are plays and programs. We'll have to talk about the summer camp, Kenya. But, you know, organizations that are located and just physically situated in communities of color, generally, as Kenya put out there, way more than just about performance. They are anchors in the community and part of community fabric. With respect, though, to answer your question just directly around the ongoing role and support, ways that philanthropy can be supportive, yes, to continue to fund BIPOC-led organizations of all sizes and shapes in the form with less restrictions, but also for those that participated in this effort to tell the story. So for many of our funding partners, they've never done anything like this, and so it was as much a learning opportunity for them. And they've been as gracious with their time and, you know, to learn from this experience in order to take those learnings back to inform their respective organizations. And so I cannot, you know, not continue to emphasize and stress that. So I think that just telling the story is important. And I just feel as if, you know, for local municipalities, that when we think about arts districts and tourism and things of that nature, let's make sure that those processes are inclusive, including, you know, places and spaces such as ETA.
Great stuff here this morning from Kenya Thomas, the executive director of ETA, and Vicky Lakes Battle. Kenya, did you have something to add? Sorry.
Oh, no, I'm listening to you.
I apologize. Here, I'll reset this. Great stuff here this morning from Kenya Thomas, the executive director of ETA, and Vicky Lakes Battle, the executive director of IFF Chicago Metro Region. And Vicky, something that you mentioned, asked about philanthropy, but you mentioned that the funding of the arts and especially BIPOC organizations is something that we as a community should acknowledge and do something about. What are some of the ways that we as a community can support the arts, especially in communities of color?
So one, and I appreciate the question, we have to take care of our own communities. And so part of that begins with patronizing the places and spaces that are available to us.
Yep.
And also just our own individual promotion. I know that I've seen, I've traveled to other places and have been exposed to whether it's performance art or visual arts. It starts with me, right? That I need to tell the story about great experiences that I've had with hidden gems. And there's a little bit of wordplay here with the theme of shy treasures here, because again, this is about unburying and exposing gems that have already been there. These performances, the museums, the visual arts exhibits are of very high quality, and the places, it provokes a sense of connection in ways that are tangible, I think, to each of us. And so it starts with just, you know, if the neighborhood theater or the local museum buy a membership. And so they're generally affordable because our BIPOC organizations have a tendency to be very pointed about knowing their constituency and keeping prices affordable, even when probably the financials suggest that prices should increase. And so I'm saying that because it's, you know, what we have to also imagine a world where the organizations like the ETA aren't around. I certainly don't want to participate and be a resident in that place.
Right.
And so I just want to say that it starts with just valuing and patronizing local institutions.
Kenya, what are some of the ways that people can support ETA, and what are some of the events that you guys have coming up?
Yes. Like Vicky said, really individuals in the community also supporting this particular space, because we're in your community. So supporting this particular community, supporting ETA is first and foremost, because we're right here for you. And not only are we here for the community, but we're here for Chicago. We're here nationally and internationally. And ways that you can support is we have about this year, actually what we actually had to do, because we're in the middle of a renovation project, of renovating our space, trying to create a more equitable space for our artists,
right,
to come and do the work. Because we've never had an upgrade in the whole 53 years that we've been here. We had to take a step back from programming, because we're trying to do a year of fundraising, to raise general operating funds and to close the gap on some of our capital funds, the funds that we need to fill our capital campaign. But we have a whole plethora of events that we do, and we're also using those as fundraising tools as well. So we have a Steppers night, we have a blues night, we have a jazz night, we have an open mic night. And these are events that we are not paying for. We're allowing artists to come in and do their work. It's kind of like we're doing like a bartering situation, and that's because we don't have the funding to actually pay artists to perform their craft on stage. So we barter in some sort of way. And that's basically keeping the traction going, keeping people coming in and out of the building, keeping our name
out there in the world on social media and things like that. And you can always go to any of our social media pages and see what we're doing. We're on all social media platforms, and you can also go to our website at www.etacreativearts.org. And you can see everything that we're doing. And we're always looking for volunteers to come and support us, because a lot of times we can't host some events because we have no staff. So volunteers are always welcome. They're so extremely important. So we value them. And if you would like to volunteer, you can go to our website and fill out the contact submission form and just check the box that you would like to volunteer. And also, we have a donation page where you can donate to one of our campaigns. If you, you know, help a child be able to pay their tuition for the 8 weeks of the summer camp, we make it extremely affordable for low-income families. But still, it's still a struggle in certain households. Being a foster mom myself, I know that sometimes, you know, you want to do more for your children when you have multiple kids, but sometimes you're just not able to. So we also allow, if you have three or four children, we give a discount for that as well. So you can go to our website, look at all the different donation options and choose one and donate, and just continue to come to our events and to support the organization. So that's really what needs to be done, and we would appreciate it because we would like to be here for the next 53 years.
Definitely. We would love if you were there for the next 53 and more years. Vicky, the 40 organizations that Shy Treasures represents, you talk about a lot of the work that you do helping nonprofit organizations is capacity building. What is capacity building, and how big of a part is it in the initiative of Shy Treasures?
It's really one of the pieces that I'm the most passionate about, and we took a different approach. Many times there are classes, webinars on specific issues that are presented broadly. We co-created a curriculum by asking the grantees, what's going on with you, right? What things are you most concerned about or with? And so we have participations with, and we have branding support, marketing and branding support, website development, fundraising, strategic support. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that and ETA is one of the folks that IFF is working with on their facility planning and the development and build out of their space. So whatever the issues are, we have a plethora of kind of choose your own adventure type of offerings. And there's no requirement for the organizations to participate, but they get to choose what works for them in their own way and on their own terms.
Outstanding stuff this morning, Kenya and Vicky. Kenya, one more time, your website, etacreativearts.org, correct?
Yes, sir. You got it.
Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Is there anything that either of you would like to add before we wrap things up?
I would just invite everyone to check us out at chicagoculturaltreasures.org for new information coming out sometime this year. And as always, check us out at IFF.org as things emerge that might be relevant to the nonprofit community broadly.
And I would just like to say, like you said, go to continue to support ETA at www.etacreativearts.org. Check out our website and check out all of our social media platforms. And check out our donation links. All donations are welcome.
Vicky Lakes Battle, Executive Director of IFF, and Kenya Thomas, the Executive Director of ETA. Thank you so much for telling me this morning a little bit about Chicago's cultural treasures, ETA, and your mission of helping BIPOC arts organizations. Thank you for joining me this morning.
Thank you for having me.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.